This is America's Sports Talk Show, Sports Byline USA. Here's Ron Barr.
Again, good to have you with us here on Sports Byline, and we're sharing with you our interview with the late Reggie White, who passed away in December of 2004, a member of the NFL Hall of Fame. And as you heard me talk about with him in the first segment, he played the sousaphone as a teen in high school, but he was also an accomplished impressionist. He did Muhammad Ali, Rodney Dangerfield, Elvis, and Lassie. He also was a licensed Baptist minister, and he began his pro career, a lot of people don't remember this, with the USFL's Memphis Showboats. Now let's go back as we talked about a particular game with the Philadelphia Eagles and an injury to Randall Cunningham.
You know, last season when Randall went down, it was a big blow to the Philadelphia Eagles, and I'm just wondering what the players said among themselves, because I thought they showed one of the class acts in sports by not folding. It would have been very easy to do, but what was the discussion within the team?
Well, you know, before Randall went down, a lot of people don't realize, a lot of people think, the media especially, that, you know, we felt that since Randall was down, we had to take the load of the team. But we decided that before Randall went down. The night before we played Green Bay, which Randall got hurt, we just sat there. We had a meeting. We said, hey guys, it's got to come down to this. We can't depend on the offense. You know, if we're going to win the game, we got to win the game. We got to put the offense in position so we can win the game. So we put the pressure on ourselves even before Randall went down, and it carried on throughout the season.
Quick question from you, Al, in Morrisville, Pennsylvania.
Yeah, Reggie, how you doing?
Good.
That's pretty good, man. I got you all over my wall. You're my favorite player.
Thank you.
I was just wondering, like, what do you say to the defense, like, when the offense is struggling and you guys are out in the field almost the whole entire game, trying to keep the team in the game when the offense is, you know, making mistakes three plays and they're out, and the defense has to keep coming in to try to save the game? What do you possibly say to your guys since you're, like, the role model on the defense?
Well, it's really nothing you can say. You know, a lot of times, you just got to go do it. You know, when you get to talking and try to tell guys to do something, a lot of times that don't work. You just got to go out as individuals and make things happen. And I think another reason that our defense was so good this year is the guys stopped waiting on one guy to make a play. Everybody had an attitude that, hey, if the play is going to be made, it's going to be made by me. And, you know, everybody on our unit had that attitude, and I think that that was one of the reasons our defense was so good this past year.
What is the cohesiveness that successful teams have? You know, you look at the 49ers, you look at the Redskins, you look at the Eagles. Is there just a single commitment that everybody agrees with and they're committed to?
Well, I think the commitment is towards one another. You look at an organization like San Francisco, their commitment has come from up top. And what I mean from up top, their owner. We've got the talent to be champions, but, you know, everything hasn't come together. We're going to do all we can to try to win a championship, but I think we could have won one earlier if we would have had the commitment from up top, and that's been one of the biggest problems in Philadelphia.
Tell me about the differences between coaches, Rich Kotite compared to Buddy Ryan.
Well, that's a big difference. You know, both Rich and Buddy have a similar attitude. It's just Buddy was more flamboyant. You know, Buddy spoke his mind, and a lot of people didn't respect him because of that. I was one who did. Buddy let you know where he stood. If he didn't like you, he let you know. If he liked you, he let you know. And I just think that a lot of people didn't like Buddy Ryan because he was honest, he was straightforward, and he supported his players. And he got a lot out of his players for showing them the support.
Go ahead, Bart in Knoxville, Tennessee.
Yeah, hello, Reggie. How you doing?
Good, Bart.
I'd like to ask you a couple of questions. First question, who, in your opinion, is the best offensive lineman? And I'd like to know what your best memory is of playing for the Volunteers. Now hang up and listen.
I think the best offensive lineman in the league is Anthony Munoz, especially when he's well. You know, he's just a tremendous player. I think once Anthony goes out of the game, the best offensive lineman in the league will be the kid down in Miami. Doggone, I can't believe I forget his name. Miami's title, Richmond Webb. I think once Anthony goes out, Richmond probably will be the best offensive lineman in the league. I guess my most memorable moment at the University of Tennessee was my junior year when we beat Alabama for the first time in 12 years.
I got to tell you something. I did a game down at the University of Tennessee, first time I had ever been into Knoxville, Tennessee. I'd just like to know where you park.
You park on the river. You got to drive a boat to the game.
I know. I saw that. Listening to us on our Philadelphia affiliate. Chris, go ahead. You're on with Reggie.
How you doing, Reggie?
Good, Chris.
It's a thrill to talk to you.
Well, thank you.
Actually, I'm a Cowboys fan, but, you know, you're one of my favorite defensive players in the league.
Well, I appreciate it.
But how intense do these Cowboys-Eagles games get?
Well, they get real intense. You know, they're probably one of the most intense games. It will be one of the most intense games from here on out that we play, probably other than Washington. But it's a real intense game when we play Dallas.
Reggie, one of the things that interests me is the ability of professional athletes to be able to stay sharp mentally week in and week out, because after the game is over with and as you move along during the course of the season, obviously it becomes a little more painful physically because your body does take a beating. What do you do to be able to maintain that sharpness and that focus so that one can go out and perform at the high level and expectation that everybody has in professional football?
Well, I think you just got to keep working at it, you know. Well, I think what takes more out of you than anything is losing. And, you know, that really takes a lot of you. Winning, you know, you can pretty much do your best to keep sharp. But once you lose, it takes a whole lot out of you. And, you know, you end up making a lot of mistakes. But it's just going and believing in yourself as a team. And I think that's what we were able to do as a defensive unit. We realized we had to support the offense a lot more. And we kept sharp, and Bud kept us sharp throughout the whole season, and we didn't make a whole lot of mistakes, and you know, and that made the game more fun. I think a lot of guys on our team last year had fun playing football, and I think once you begin to have fun, then you're going to be mentally sharp.
Let me, Reggie, ask you about the problems that we have been struggling through in this country down in Los Angeles. You and I were chatting a little bit off the air during the commercial break, And you said that you had some definite opinions about it. And the other night I had Kyle Rowe Jr. on with me, and I asked him whether he thought the media's portrayal of athletes and some of the salaries they're getting, whether that added to the frustration of the disenfranchised in this country. What's your thoughts about that?
Well, you know, when you look at the situation in Los Angeles, you know, it's sad. I think everybody agrees that their verdict was sickening. You know, You got video that proves that it happened. I think the other day the media showed they had a video in Atlanta of a guy beating another guy, and this guy was convicted for beating him. They got him on the video. So this guy was a black guy. He shouldn't have been beating anybody, but he got shown on there. He probably will get convicted. And there's a double standard in our country. The problem is that a lot of us, you know, don't realize. I realize it even more because I'm a black man. Don't realize what's really going on in the inner cities, in the black community. I've learned one thing. I don't agree with the violence, and I don't promote violence. But I know one thing. You know, there's a scripture in the Bible that says the natural man cannot perceive the things of the spirit. And a lot of people have been saying, hey, this is not a racial issue, it's a human issue. Well, to be honest with you, it's not a human issue, it's a spiritual issue. We've lost all type of godly spirituality in our country, and since the natural man or the man that don't know God cannot perceive the things of the spirit, what happened out in Los Angeles, the reason the people reacted that way because that was the way they were supposed to react. They don't know, a lot of them don't know better than to do what they're doing. So a lot of them been used to doing things like this. So there's a problem. One of the things that has discouraged me as a pro athlete, even disappointed me in myself, is that a lot of us, black athletes in particular, most of us grew up in the projects. We worked our way to get out of the projects. When we got out of projects, we forgot to go back. And our people need to see us back at home. They need us to come back down on the streets. They need us to set up educational programs. They need us to sit with them and talk to them. They need a guy like myself or Magic Johnson or Michael Jordan to come to their schools and sit out and talk with them and chat with them and just be there for them. And it's important. But we got to get back to the spiritual aspect because I know how it's changed me. I tell you what, if Reggie White didn't know Jesus Christ, Reggie White could be doing some of the things that other people are doing. He could be in jail. Yep. But I know how it's changed my life.
Reggie, what is it about black athletes who have come from that environment that they don't want to go back? Is it just a discomfort? Is it a pain?
I think most guys are scared. And that's just what it boils down to. It's just like a lot of whites. The advice that lived out in the area in California, some of the jurors, they would not dare go down to the black community. Everything that has to do with black is negative. You look at, I remember when I was growing up, they said if you cross the street, a black cat go across it, it's bad luck. So we've been kind of, as we grew up, we've been kind of programmed to think that everything that's black is bad. And that's the way some whites have been programmed also. They preceded things that black is bad. A situation happened to me. My wife in Cleveland, Ohio, my son was standing in the store. He's 5 years old. He was just standing there looking in the mirror. And my wife is real fair-skinned. And the people, he's 5 years old, and the people in the store wanted to kick my son out the store. He wasn't doing anything. He didn't grab nothing. But they wanted the five-year-old boy to be thrown out the store. And my wife came and told him, hey, this is my son. And they were kind of shocked because they thought she was white. And these are problems that we're facing in our country. And we've got to be able to admit that there is racism in our country. And we need to confront it and get rid of it. And that's the way we're going to get along, by each other. Whites understand the culture of blacks, allowing blacks to go in and set up programs. The government has to be more sensitive to the needs of black people and minorities in the inner cities. We need to stop kicking blacks, Hispanics, and poor whites to the side and start paying them attention, because most of the people that are suffering right now are our children. And if we don't get a hold of that, then we won't have no future.
Do disenfranchised minorities such as blacks feel even more abandoned when somebody is able to overcome the odds, become successful like a professional black athlete, and then they don't return back to their roots again? Do they feel even more abandoned because of that?
Well, yeah, I think so. And not only that, I think blacks feel abandoned when, you know, you look at people that come from other countries that come in, and they're able to be more successful than the blacks who've been in this country and pretty much were forced in this country 400 years ago. And a lot of blacks, you know, a lot of blacks are saying, let's put the past behind. But the reason we can't put the past behind is because the past continues to get thrown in our face. I've had people ask me, I don't know if you remember the incident with Bruce Smith last year.
Yes, I do.
Bruce said he had got letters. And I had some whites ask me, did Bruce Smith overreact? No, Bruce Smith didn't overreact, because he started getting letters at his home. And no one should have to suffer through that. I've gotten letters where people in the Philadelphia area have wrote me letters when we weren't doing too well and called me a nigger, and they called me a monkey. And, I know that even in the stands, when Randall mess up, I've heard from my wife and other people that are friends of mine, white and black, that have heard other whites call Randall a nigger when he messes up. So there's a problem, and we've got to face up to that problem, and we got to start doing something about that problem.
Let me ask you just one more or two questions before we kick you loose here, Reggie. Are you somebody that's a goal setter? Do you go into a season saying, look, this is what I want to accomplish?
Oh, yeah. You know, what we want to accomplish is the Super Bowl, definitely. But, that's what everybody wants to accomplish. But I think even more this year, I think everybody believes that we can. So that's the number one goal for us all. And, you know, the stats and the all-pros, they'll come if you go out and you play with a team attitude.
Joe Morgan once said to me that he started preparing for retirement the first day he started playing. Do you kind of look at your life and understanding that, yes, someday this is all going to have to come to an end, and you're prepared to walk away from it?
Yeah, I'm prepared to walk away from it. And the reason I am is because, you know, I know what I'm going to do. I'm planning on getting into full-time ministry and focusing our ministry towards the inner cities, trying to impact the communities, and not just telling people not to do anything. Not just going and telling people that they need to know Jesus Christ, but going and showing them why and what it can do for them. And I just think that for too long, a bunch of us, in the church have been a bunch of talk. And even on television, we need to stop talking and start showing some action. And I think that that's the way we're going to win people over, by loving them and caring for them and not being afraid to go down the streets, not being afraid to maybe a possibility of hearing a bullet go by your ear. Because if you go down there intimidated, you're going to get ran out of there.
I hope you enjoyed our interview with the late Reggie White, a member of the National Football League Hall of Fame. And at the time of his retirement, Reggie was the NFL's all-time sacks leader with 198. And he won Super Bowl 31 with the Green Bay Packers, and he was the NFL's Defensive Player of the Year in 1998. We continue with more of you and Sports Byline.